Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 170, 170 on the page 246. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, the Comforter abides with me. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. 170 in the page 246. Let us stand as we sing. Help and blessing in our time together this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice afresh tonight in thy goodness. We rejoice afresh in thy mercy and in thy love toward us, and the great blessing that is ours as the people of God, of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit abiding within us day by day as the people of God. And Father, we thank thee tonight that this is our blood-bought portion, our blood-bought inheritance. We thank thee, O God, that Christ died on the cross, he rose again, and he obtained gifts for men. And we thank thee, O God, tonight for the gift and for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as the people of God. And Father, we thank that thou hast promised thy people, thou said, I will put my spirit within you, and cause ye to walk in my statutes and judgments, and ye shall keep them. And, O God, we thank Thee for the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, who helps us day by day to live for Thee, to do Thy will, and to serve Thee in our homes and in our workplaces and in the communities where we live, that we might be bright and shining witnesses and testimonies for the Lord. And, O God, our Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this night in the Saviour's name, we thank Thee for all Thy mercies to us throughout today already. We thank Thee for every good and every perfect gift. We thank Thee tonight for health and for strength and for soundness of body and of mind and for freedom and liberty, even to gather here in this fashion and in this place where prayer is wont to be made. And, O Lord, we do thank Thee, O God, that Thou art a God who hears, who answers prayer. We thank Thee for that access that we have right to the very throne room of heaven. We come to Thee tonight, not depending upon anything of man's device or creed, but, Father, we come to Thee tonight depending upon the blood, depending upon our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And, O God, as we come to Thee tonight, we pray for Thy blessing to be our portion this evening. We pray, O God, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence and of the nearness of the Lord being our portion and being with us, O God, tonight. Lord, we realize, O God, that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And, Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen that Thou, Lord, would be pleased to draw near, O God. Outpour Thy Holy Spirit upon us. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the Saviour's blood. Bless us around Thy precious word tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts and do our hearts much good from the word of God. And help us, Lord, to hide Thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would just bless us tonight in the season of prayer. We realize our great need of Thee. We come to Thee, Lord, like the disciples of old. And Lord, we would say, Lord, teach us to pray. Pour upon us, Lord, the spirit of grace and prayer and supplication. And Father, we thank that Thou hast promised in Thy word that if we ask anything according to Thy will, that Thou hast said that Thou doth hear, and in hearing prayer Thou wilt answer. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that there's no limit to Thy power. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thy word tells us that Thine ear, Lord, hears and the cries of Thy people. And, O God, bless us tonight around Thy word and around the season of prayer. We thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight. And our faces would differ, so do our needs. Meet each one at the very point of their need tonight. Bless every believer, every child of Thine. Encourage Thy people, strengthen Thy people. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. And lead us and guide us as Thy people in the way that Thou would have us to go. We think of those that cannot be with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt minister to them, and that they will know much of the goodness and the grace and the strength of God upon them. Remember others that have suffered loss in recent times. Comfort their hearts, and may they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. We pray for every family and household, Lord, connected with our church and congregation, that Thy hand of blessing, Lord, will be upon each one, we pray. And, oh, that Thou would unite every family circle in the Lord. And that, Lord, on that day of days, we pray that when the roll is called up yonder, all would be there and safely gathered in. Oh, God, we do pray. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day and all whom Thou didst bring in under the sound of Thy word. And we pray that that word would live on in their hearts, especially in the hearts and lives of those unsaved. And we pray, Lord, for them that Thou would speak to them, that Thou would save them by the grace and power of God. We thank Thee for the children's meeting tonight also out there in Tresna. And bless Your word to every boy and girl. And Father, we pray that early in life, and these children, each and every one of them, will come to know and trust the Lord as Savior, and that Thou would bless them and help them in the ways of the Lord, O God, we pray. Remember our land tonight, O God, we pray. Or bless other prayer meetings such as this, and gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Bless every faithful servant of the Lord, every faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that Thou would own and bless Thy word, even at this time, to the saving of many precious souls. Bless, O God, our missionaries across the world. And again, Lord, we're mindful tonight of the land of Ukraine, that Thou, Lord, would have mercy upon that land, that Thou would bring this war to an end, we pray. Grant peace and protection, especially to Thy people there. Bless their witness and bless their testimony. And that through their labors and their witness there, even at this time, others too will come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. We pray, O God, that Thou would intervene in mercy, even in the affairs of that nation, O God, that Thou would preserve that nation, and that Thou would even turn Putin and his army around, O God, we pray, and that Thou would cause them even to be thwarted, and Lord, to leave that land, we pray. Father, we just look to Thee now to bless us, do every heart much good, glorify the Savior, and all that will be said and done amongst us this night. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. And we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter number 2. And we're reading just from the verse 1 of the chapter, going down just to the end of verse number 7. We're turning tonight to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 2, reading from verse 1 of the chapter down to the end of verse number 7. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight. Good to see all gathered with us this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend, children's meeting here Friday night, 6:30. Pray for the youth fellowship as well as they travel up to the meeting in Armagh on Friday night. And then the services in the Lord's Day Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon, evening gospel service at 7. We belong to bring God's word, pray for the meetings, and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's precious word. Colossians chapter 2 and the verse number 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of God's eternal and infallible word to our hearts. The verses I want us just to focus our minds upon before we get down to prayer is verses 6 and 7 of that passage. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, it is not how one begins the Christian life that counts. Rather, it is how one ends their Christian life or the Christian walk that counts. The reason for this is due to the fact, yes, many may begin the Christian life well, with much zeal and enthusiasm, but over the course of time, they lose that zeal, they lose that enthusiasm, and even maybe perhaps drift away from the things of God. Paul the Apostle indeed had this concern for the believers at Colossae, to whom he writes at this particular time. This church was being attacked by false doctrine and by false teachers. And those attacking this church at this time were seeking to lure, or if you like, entice the Colossian believers away from the things of God. They were seeking to take them away from their service of God and indeed from their fellowship with the Lord's people and the people of the Lord in that church. Paul himself was aware of this particular tactic. Therefore, in a fatherlike spirit, indeed with a shepherd's heart, He speaks these words to them in particular in verses 6 and 7. And he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here in these two verses in particular, he gives them, if you like, God's antidote or God's remedy against falling away in the Christian path. And in this antidote against falling away, Paul, you see, gives a fourfold directive to God's people. And it is indeed this directive that I want us to consider and look at tonight. And may it encourage you and I also to be steadfast for God in these days in which we live. Notice first of all here how Paul, he directs the Colossian believers to be submissive to the Lord. And you see that from what he says in verse 6 of the chapter, and he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice the mention there of Christ Jesus the Lord. You see at their conversion, these people, they received and indeed they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as it also says there in that verse, as their Lord. And in all of this, they were submissive to the Lord. There was submission to the Lord. And as they submitted to the Lord in salvation, so they were to continue living in submission to the Lord. There was to be that submissiveness to the Lord and to the ways of God and the will of God for their life. Yes, this was this directive given to them by Paul to keep them as Christians from falling away. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you submitted to the Lord and trusting him and accepting him as Savior, so he says to them here, go on being submissive and being yielded to the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight in this meeting, the same, yes, applies to you and I also as Christians tonight. Yes, the day we were saved, we submitted to Christ. As he is freely offered to us in the gospel, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Christ is Lord. And accept him as Lord and Savior. My, we are to go on in the Christian life also, being submissive and submitting to him as the Lord. And indeed, by being submissive to the Lord and by being submissive to Christ, we will be kept as Christians from falling away from the things of God. You think of how Christ is described in Philippians chapter 2 in the verse number 11. It says there that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ, we're told, is the one who is Lord over all. If we turn in our Bibles back to the book of the Acts chapter number 9, the ninth chapter, and here you read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And just look at how he addresses the Lord in verse 6. Notice what he says to him, how he addresses Christ. He says there in verse 6 of Acts chapter 9 of Saul of Tarsus, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there you see there was that submission in the part of Paul in accepting Christ as Savior. That was the mark of his entire life. A child of God, that's the example that you and I also are to follow in our Christian life day by day. Christ is to be Lord of our life. It's very interesting to note that in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the word Lord, the title of Lord, is mentioned some 92 times on 92 different occasions throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles. You see, the early New Testament church was a church that believed and indeed practiced the Lordship of Christ. That's the example that we are to follow also. My, it's important, yes, that we heed this directive, for it is given, yes, to keep us from falling away from the things of God. Yes, we are to be submissive to the Lord, but not only is there a directive here to be submissive to the Lord, you'll see in the second place how Paul here directs the Colossian believers to depend upon the Lord. Look again at what he says to them there at the end of verse 6 and then link it up to the beginning of verse 7. Speaking about Christ, he says, "So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him." He says, "Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him." You think of a tree. When a tree is well rooted in the ground, it depends upon the soil for growth and for water and nutrients and for vitality. Again, you think of a house. When a house is built upon a good foundation, the structure of that house, it depends upon that foundation for strength and stability in wind and storm and rain. It's vital. It depends upon the foundation. The tree rooted in the ground depends upon its roots for growth and vitality and water and nutrients. And by such words here, when Paul says to these Christians, "So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him," speaking of Christ, he was really here telling the Colossian Christians to remain dependent upon the Lord for everything. And by such dependence, they would be kept and be prevented from falling away from the things of God and the cause of Christ. And child of God, yes, if you and I are to remain true to the Lord in these ungodly days in which we live, then in our lives as Christians and in God's work, we must depend upon the Lord for everything. Depend upon the Lord for blessing, for salvation, for growth, for increase, and for his help. The psalmist says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And there the psalmist reminds us of our absolute need of depending upon the Lord. You turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter 15, and you'll see again how Christ brings this thought out to his disciples. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verses 4 and 5, look at what he says to them. He says, "Abide in me." And he really is homing in upon this truth of their need to depend upon the Lord. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." What was the Lord telling his disciples? That they needed him, that they must depend upon him as the branch depends upon the stem of the vine for fruit and for fruit bearing. He says there, "Without me, you can and do nothing." And why is it that so many professing believers fall away from the things of God? It is due to this fact, that they feel they no longer need the Lord. It is due to this fact that they no longer depend upon the Lord. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, may we never get to the point in our life's experience where we feel we do not need the Lord or do not need to depend upon the Lord. We need to depend upon the Lord. We need to submit to the Lord. Notice something else here that Paul says to these Christians. He also directs the Colossian believers to cleave to God's truth, to cleave, to stick fast to God's truth. Look again at what he says to them in the middle part of verse 7 there of Colossians chapter 2. Notice the words. He says, "Established in the faith, as ye have been taught." And when Paul talks here about the faith, he's referring to God's word, the whole counsel of God's word, the gospel message, the great truths of God's word, the great fundamentals of the faith. He says there, "Be steadfast in the faith as ye have been taught." They'd been taught God's word. They'd heard the gospel. They'd been taught the great doctrines of God's word through the faithful preaching of Epaphras. Go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 7. Notice what Paul says about Epaphras there in relation to that. He says, "As ye have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." And Epaphras had set before them the glorious truths of the gospel and the great fundamentals of the faith and the statutes of God's word. And here Paul says to them, be steadfast in the faith. In other words, don't forsake, he says, the truths of God's word. Don't forsake what God's word says and teaches for the new teaching and indeed the doctrines of men around you. He was telling them here to stick to God's word like glue, to cleave to God's word. And brethren and sisters in Christ, the same applies to us as God's people. Yes, if we are to not make shipwreck, spiritual shipwreck in our Christian life, then we must never depart from the truths of God's word. We must never depart from the old paths of God's word, those truths that we have received and indeed have been taught faithfully to us in the past as God's people. We must hold fast to the word of God. And pressure is on God's people today all over land to turn away from God's word. People say, oh, God's word is old-fashioned. That's old-fashioned. It's not relevant for today. You know, people, God's word is always up to date. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. We are to hold fast to the word of God. Remember what Jude said to the Christians of his day. He says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Hold fast to the faith, to the gospel, to the truths of God's word. Don't depart from that benchmark. Don't depart from that anchor. Turn with me back to Psalm 119. And just look at what the psalmist here prays. Psalm 119. And look at what he prays in verse number 36. And here's something we could pray for every day of our lives as Christians. Psalm 119 and the verse number 36, he says, incline my heart. He's talking to the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He knew, yes, there's many things in the world that would lead him, as it were, in the paths of covetousness and things away from God. But he says, Lord, incline my heart. Draw my heart out after thee. Out after thy word, out after thy testimony. Is that something, child of God, that you and I can pray every day of our lives? Lord, incline our heart after thy testimonies. You think of what the hymn writer said of God's word. The hymn writer says, Lord, I have made thy word my choice, my lasting heritage. There shall all my noblest powers rejoice, my warmest thoughts engaged. They said, Lord, I have made thy word my choice, my lasting heritage. They were cleaving to the word of God. Oh, may God give us grace to cleave to God's word, to hold fast to the truth of God's word. Notice one final thing here in this directive against falling away. In the final place, we see here how Paul, he directs these Colossian believers to be thankful to the Lord. Look at how he ends verse 7 there of Colossians chapter 2. He says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That word abound there really means to overflow. That's what it means. You think of how a water pipe maybe might overflow. When that happens, the water flows everywhere. It covers the ground all around that pipe. Well, with thankfulness, these people, these believers in Colossae were to abound with thanksgiving. Really, Paul was saying to the world around them, in their society, in their homes, in their workplaces, in their communities, day by day, they were to be a people who were abounding with thanksgiving. They were to be thankful to the Lord for the Bible, for the Word of God, the faith, thankful to God for Christ, their Savior, the comforter of the Holy Spirit abiding in their hearts. They were to be thankful to God for the gospel, for the great inheritance they had in heaven, and indeed for all the spiritual blessings linked to their salvation, and indeed for all the temple blessings that God had given to them. They were to be a thankful people, he says, abounding therein with thanksgiving, no matter what was going on around them, no matter how others were attacking them and seeking to draw them away from the things of God. They were to abound therein with thanksgiving. And likewise, child of God, this is the example that we also are to follow. Yes, our life as God's people is to be marked by thanksgiving. It is to abound with thanksgiving to God for his mercies and his blessings to us. And notice again how Paul further emphasizes this in this book. Look at Colossians 3 there, verse number 15. He says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body." And notice it, "and be ye thankful." There's the command, the call to thankfulness. Look again at chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "Continue in prayer," and notice it, "watch in the same with thanksgiving." How we are to be a people who are marked by thanksgiving as the people of the Lord. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." My, we're not to be marked by murmuring or complaining as the people of God. No, our testimony is to be marked by thankfulness. Thankfulness to God for all of his goodness, his mercies, his blessings to us in salvation. And you know, by being a thankful people, we'll be protected and we'll be guarded from being lured away from the work of God, the things of God, the fellowship of God's people, and our witness for Christ. Also, by being thankful to the Lord, we'll be a witness for Christ and we'll be a means of attracting others to Christ and pointing others to the Savior. What does the hymn writer say? The hymn writer says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Yes, we are to abound therein with thanksgiving. May that be the mark of our life and our testimony day by day. And may we be protected and guarded from falling away from the things of God. We're going to turn again in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 469. 469. "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee." 469 and the page 365. We'll stand as we sing, singing it out heartily unto the Lord. we'll just get down to our season of prayer and encourage as many as possible to pray, to take part, men and women, young and old alike. Let there be no gaps. Let us pray one with another. Pray upholding each other in prayers. The Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Do remember, please, the services over the Lord's Day. Pray for them. I pray that we'll see visitors brought in. Pray for new and young families to be brought in. Pray for souls to be saved. Remember the outreach ministry. And remember the work of Bethel Children's Crusade and the gospel phone ministry as well, that God might use these things to speak to hearts. Do remember the sick in your prayers as well, the aged and the infirm. Do remember our missionaries. Do pray for Noel and Colin. They're preparing for a two-week gospel mission down in Newcastle that commences this coming Lord's Day. They're visiting for that this week, so remember that in your prayers. And do remember the Consider Christ outreach as well on Saturday the 26th of March down to County Cavan. Then, of course, remember the situation in Ukraine as well. I pray just for an intervention of God and peace and protection, especially upon God's people in that land. And these are just some of the things I want to set before you. And as the Lord leads us, don't want to tie you to these things as the Spirit leads in the time that is left. But encourage as many as possible to pray and to seek the Lord. And maybe ask our brother, Mr. Raymond Medill, to lead us off in prayer. And then maybe